The time is upon us. Would you join me in welcoming Creflo Dollar to this platform? Praise God. Amen. God's man, my son, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's my man.
Yeah, that's my hero, man.
Yeah, 105.
105.
Yeah, 105.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Last time I was with him, he said, stay on the Lord's side.
Yes, amen.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He preached a sermon and said, if God's on your side, you're a winner. If God ain't on your side, you a loser. Did I get it right? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Creflo said he preaches like me and he looks like Gloria. Amen. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands out towards Brother Dollar tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and thanksgiving. When I began to speak about your anointing a few minutes ago that's in these girls' ministry and this the singing and the music that went forth, and all of a sudden your love and your compassion began to rise up on the inside of me, just talking about you and your anointing, just speaking about your great heart, your great desire to deliver your people, to see your people strong and healthy and wealthy and wise. And oh, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for sending us this, your man of God, for anointing him for our sake and for the kingdom of God's sake and for your sake. And we thank you. We bless you and praise you. And now tonight, as he lifts his voice, I'm asking you to live big within him. As he stretches forth his hands, that the anointing to heal and deliver will flow unhindered by any force. We receive the gift of his ministry. And Jesus, you said, if you receive whom I send, you receive me. Well, we receive Creflo Dollar. And we receive you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And it is in the name of Jesus that we joyfully give you praise and we glorify and lift it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord praise and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Something is on. Something's in the wind tonight. Hallelujah. Something is in this place tonight. Oh, somebody is in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love you, bud.
Tonight, if you would, go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's get right into this tonight. Chapter 11. And then while you're at it, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, or your table of contents. Ain't no need you being in Matthew talking about, oh yeah, praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, then Habakkuk chapter 2. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to stay in faith, even in the middle of everything that's going on in your life, even in the middle of all the things that you're coming out of. It's time to understand how to stay in faith and why you need to do it right now more than any other time in your life. This is a time where God is about to release unprecedented manifestations and proof of what you've been doing for years, that you have not been wasting your time. I said you have not been wasting your time. Spirit of God spoke to me this afternoon and he said, I'm about to cause an avalanche of manifestations to come down upon those who stay in faith, and I will bury your circumstances and situations, and you won't even know that they once existed. Oh, I don't think y'all hear what I'm saying. An avalanche is coming of manifestation and infallible proofs. And it will show that we have not wasted our time standing in faith, praise the Lord. Faith has not passed away. Faith is not a movement, praise the Lord. It's how we do it. It's how we live, hallelujah. All right, now watch this. I'm working real hard not to cut wild and run. I got to make sure you understand what I'm saying before I do that. Oh, Jesus. Like that's all I need. We just met. All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. An avalanche of blessings and manifestations are about to be released upon those who stay in faith. And will bury your circumstances and situations as if they never existed. I'm not talking about no 10 years from now either. Shoot, Lord have mercy. I'm talking about I sense an abundance. I sense something getting ready to pop. It's what you've been praying for. Luke 18 says men ought always to pray and not give up, cave in, and faint. Well, why? Because you're the authority on this planet. And now what you have loosed on the earth is in agreement with heaven. And what you have tied up and bound on the earth is in agreement with heaven. And there have been points in your life where it seems like, well, look, don't look like much happening. But I need to remind you, when you plant a seed, it grows down first before it grows up. Well, I'm here to announce the root is in place. I said the root is in place. Get ready for an avalanche of manifestations. Lord, have mercy. All right. For those who'll stay in faith. Now, we got to get this text read. Let's read verse 4 out loud together. Ready, read. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Ecclesiastes 11 and 4. The Amplified says, he who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow. He's waiting for all of the conditions to be favorable. We're faith people. We're not looking at what the conditions are going to be like. We're faith people. We're not looking for the conditions in the world to be favorable. Whether they're favorable or not, we have the favor of God, even in unfavorable circumstances and situations. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stay in faith. And so we're not looking at the uncertainties that are in the world. The world continues to celebrate inflation and recession, but the church is celebrating increase. I'm not stepping off increase because of what's going on out there. It may not look favorable in the U.S. Economy, but it is always favorable in this economy in the kingdom of God. So we're not waiting to see how the wind is going to blow, and we're not waiting to see if the conditions are going to be favorable according to the standards of the world. We walk by and not by. So we're not looking at the conditions in the world. No, now's the time. Is not the, somebody says, well, look, like I got to cut back on my giving. Not now. Oh, not now. If ever there were a time for me to give like I've never given before, it's right in the middle of this thing getting ready to pop. It's right in the middle of this breakthrough getting ready to come through. I'm getting ready to give like I've not given before. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing up. I'm getting ready to pray like I've never prayed before. I'm getting ready to confess like I've never confessed before. I'm getting ready to rejoice like I've never rejoiced before. I'm not looking to see if the conditions are favorable. We have to favor God right now. I'm not looking at the situations in the world. And so he says, he who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable, he said he won't sow. And he that regards the clouds, he won't reap, he won't harvest, because he's basing everything on what's going on the outside circle of faith instead of where we are in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When it was dark in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Welcome to Goshen. I said, welcome to Goshen. It's going to look one way in the world, but it's going to look another way in the church. It's going to look one way in the economy, but it's going to look another way in the kingdom of God. Get your eyes on what's going on outside. Focus on what's going on in the kingdom and watch God cause you to outrun your adversary. I tell you, an avalanche is coming. So we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. And then we're cautious enough to make sure that we're guarding our ears. We're not moved by that. We're moved by this word. Say out loud, I'm moved by the word. Say it again, I'm moved by the word. Say it again, I'm moved by the word. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I am moved by the word of God. And the word of God says, all is well. Okay, now let's go over to the book of Habakkuk. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. If you get your nose right, you'll sense this. You'll sense something getting ready to happen. Well, Brother Dollar, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand, you know, I 2007 and Lord have mercy, the first several months. You don't understand what I'm going through. No, you don't understand what's happening, baby. See, everything that happened thus far, that's just fertilizer on this seed that's getting ready to come up. See, you've been standing in the test of time and you refuse to get out of your faith. They talk about you. You refuse to get out of your faith. You've been betrayed. You still won't get out of your faith. You've been thrown in a pit and tried to figure out how to get out of that pit because betrayal hurts and you didn't know how to step out of it. Some of the people you trusted the most, you didn't know what happened, but you still wouldn't get out of your faith. The money didn't look right. It looked kind of funny, but you still wouldn't get out your faith. I mean, things were going on with your children and your family, but you still wouldn't get out your faith. Honey, let me tell you something. Having done all that you can do to stand, and you're standing, therefore, I want you to get ready, for your eyes are about to see, and your hands are about to handle, and you are about to behold the mighty power of God's harvest that comes upon people who won't get out of faith. I'm standing in faith. Praise God. Amen. Now, Habakkuk chapter 2. Well, I'm glad I got a few more sessions because I definitely ain't finishing this tonight. We're just going to work, get a gush, and then, we'll quit, and glory be to God. Hallelujah. Some of you sitting here minding your own business and something going on with your body, and God getting ready to touch that thing, man. You came here minding your own business, and you're going to be so focused in on what you've been doing, what you've been praying, and watch the hand of God show up on you tonight, man. Now, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not just saying something to be cute. I'm telling you that the hand of God getting ready to show up on your physical body, and you came in here one way, but you're getting ready to walk out another way. You came in feeling one way, but you're getting ready to walk out another way. All right, let's go. Let's go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's start at verse 3. Read through to verse 4. Ready to read. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait. Now, he didn't mean, though it tarry, sit down until you see something. That's not what it means in the Bible. When he talks about though it tarry, wait for it, that means, well, while it's on its way, and while I'm in faith, I'm going to serve him with praise, and I'm going to serve him with worship, and I'm going to put him in remembrance of his word. And every time you look at me, I'm going to serve it. Check out Paul and Silas. Had stripes on their backs. Got thrown in jail. Could have sat there and started talking. Hey, man, how your back feel? My back sure hurt. Oh, man, my back hurt me too, boy. Oh, man, dog, could you get that for me back there? I can't even reach you. Oh, man, that thing. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. In the middle of that pain and in the middle of that situation, the Bible says they prayed and they sang praises. What were they doing? They were waiting on the Lord. They weren't sitting there just waiting, but they began to pray and they began to praise and they began to worship. They began to pray the prayer of worship and praise. And all of a sudden, they forgot about their stripes and just focused on God and start ministering to God and start telling him how great he is. Lord, you're awesome. You're my high tower. You're the horn of my salvation. You're my buckler. You're my healer. You're my great deliverer. You're my way out of no way. You're El Elyon. You're the most high God. And even though it looks low right now, I know you're able to bring me up. I got to praise you. They had a flashback. Look at what you did last week on the water when I had a shipwreck. Look at what you did when the snake bit me. Look at what you did when they threw me off the cliff. Lord, I got to praise you for what you already done. That's what it means to wait. We don't sit back sobbing over the economy. We lift our hands up and we begin to praise God and have a flashback of what God's already done. What are preachers at? Preachers, if the money is looking funny in your offerings, you don't go to complaining about, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why people ain't giving. I don't know what's happening. No. You take whatever came in and you say, Lord, I am so thankful that something came in today. See, as you start thanking him, it expands your capacity to receive more. Lord, I give you praise for what came in. And I thank you, Lord, that my needs are met. I'm out of debt and I got more than enough to pay every bill that comes into this ministry. And you might have to cry while you're doing it, but give him praise. You might not feel good, but you're not moved by your feelings. Give him praise. Learn how to wait there.
Thank you, Father.
Wait where? Wait there in faith.
Oh, yeah.
This is how faith people do it. I said, this is how faith people do it. If you've ever referred to yourself as a faith person, this is what it looks like. And we confuse people. They freak out. Somebody came and gave me a report. It was several months ago and said, I heard that the Copelands and the Dollars are so stressed out that they had to be admitted to the hospital. I said, what? Glory, la la basada. Do I look like I'm stressed? Sheko kaza la la. Does that sound like stress? Epaso kan de baba. I know where to go when the pressure show up. Now listen. I don't want to sound superhuman. Yeah, the pressure will come, but I know how to put pressure on that pressure. Hey, listen. Listen, I'm not telling you pressure won't come. The Bible says in this world you will have tribulation. But then he also said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. See, you don't have to just be troubled by your trouble. You can trouble your trouble. Okay, let me get started. I got to get started here. I really do have something to say here tonight. Look at this. He says, so wait for it. So that's what you're doing right now. The seed you've been sowing. Oh, Father, I just want to praise you today. I'm not going to ask you for nothing today. It's just about you today. It's an appreciation for you today. And I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes just praising you. I'm going to come to prayer with no agenda. You've done so much for me. I'm going to come to you today with no agenda. You got plenty you can pray about, but I'm going to come to you today without no agenda. And when Paul and Silas begin to do that, the Bible calls it, they said he was ministering to the Lord. And when you start ministering to him, you know how God is. He can't help but to minister back to you. All right, now watch this. He said, because it will surely come, it'll surely come, it will surely come, it will surely come. Yeah, it will surely come. May not look like it, but it will surely come. And it will not tarry. Now watch this, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just. The just. Shall live. By. Faith. Romans chapter 1:17 says, but the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3:11, but the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, but the just shall live by faith. This is how we do it. We have a prescription that we live by. But now watch this. The Amplified said something, got my attention. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight. Oh, man. Look at the proud. His soul not straight. Something wrong with him. Something wrong with him. They soul not straight. They come on TV talking about how you can be single and have the best sex life the sex life you ever had. Soul ain't straight. Something wrong with you. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith, watch this, and in his faithfulness. They shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Living by faith, but living by faith in faithfulness. Now catch this now. Living by faith, but living by faith in your faithfulness. That may be the reason why a lot of people have not seen certain manifestations, because they have been living by faith, but not in faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, I want to show you how this works. I want to give you a quick little synopsis of the life of faith. And we'll break it down a little bit more this week. But I want to bring you to this point of understanding. What do you mean here? Living by faith. Living by his faith and in his faithfulness. Because faithfulness is a quality that we don't see as much as we need to see. That's why it says the just shall live by faith, because faith can't be something you tried every now and then. It's got to be a faithful life. It's got to be something you're doing. To be faithful, ladies and gentlemen, I like to remember it like this. To be faithful is doing what you were last told to do. To be faithful, it's really proving your trustworthiness, your reliability. How reliable are you? How dependable are you? Can you be trusted? Can you prove worthy of trust? Praise God for this awesome word. Praise God for your life of faith. But can you be faithful with your faith? Right, let's look at the life of faith for a moment. The just shall live by faith. So those of us who are born again, the day we got saved, we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. As soon as we made him the Lord of our lives, heaven declared that we were righteous. Now, we didn't do anything to earn that righteousness. The grace of God allowed us to be born again, and we were made the righteousness of God. We were made the righteousness of God. Now, we got in Jesus, and once we stepped in Jesus, God now looks at us and views us through the life of Jesus. And we understand that Jesus is our champion. He's the only one that successfully lived this life without sinning not one time. Not Buddha, not Mohammed. You cannot go to the Father except through Jesus. There are not 1,000 ways to God, contrary to popular opinion. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to God. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. He's not only the door, he's the open door. He not only is the open door, he's got the keys to the door. He's not only the one with the keys to the door, but whatever he shuts can't be open, and whatever he opens can't be shut. Let me see if I explain this. Once you get into Jesus, you are righteous because he is. Once you get into Jesus, you are redeemed because he is. He is your redemption. He is your redemption. Once you get into Jesus, you have wisdom. Once you get into Jesus, you are sanctified. So get into him and you get all that he was made for you. Now your faith has got to be in the finished works of Jesus. But what we've seen is people get out of Jesus and go over here to try to establish what Jesus has already established with their own works. So now we're trying to work to be righteous. We're trying to work to be sanctified. We're trying to work to have wisdom. We're trying to work for the things that Jesus has already done. So now if you're not careful, what you're trying to do, and henceforth religion, what you're trying to do, you're trying to establish through your works, you're trying to earn through your efforts what Jesus has already taken care of. So your works minus Jesus still leaves you short. So you go to church to tithe because you think tithing is going to make you righteous. But tithing won't make you righteous. Yet righteous people will tithe. Coming to church won't make you righteous. Yet righteous people will come to church. See, Jesus has already made me righteous. I get in him the first day without doing nothing. I can tell you I'm the righteousness of God. Why? Because I'm in him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it like this for you. You are one Jesus away from hell. So before you're quick to judge somebody, you're one Jesus away from hell. See, there are three things you're going to see when you get to heaven. Number one, you're going to look around and see somebody that you wonder, how in the world did they get here? Number two, you're going to look around and not see somebody that you knew they were going to be here. And then number three, you're going to look around and say, whoo, I made it. Don't become that kind of Christian that wants to look at everybody and be critical of their life. Because you don't understand that if it were not for Jesus, you wouldn't be there yourself. The only you're one Jesus away from heaven. See, God knew you were crazy when he saved you. And you over here trying to prove to him one thing. He already knew we were all crazy and we all deserved hell. But then Jesus showed up and said, hey, daddy, can I make them a part of this deal? And when they accept me, can you draft them and adopt them into the family and treat them just like you treat me? See, take away Jesus. You can't be just. You can't be just without the one who justified you. So the just, what am I saying? Those who know who they are in Christ. Those who are born again and know who they are in Christ shall live by faith and in their faithfulness. All right, now watch this now. So we're the just. We live. This is prescription. This is how we do it. We live by faith. All right, now. We understand, according to Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? By the word of God. So I submit that faith comes by the word. So the source of faith is what? The word. So no word, what? So if your word level is low, what else is going to be low? If your faith level is low, what else is low? No word, no faith.
That's right.
Okay, so now here's what I want you to see now. So we're talking about this life of faith. We're talking about understanding the power of God's word. We're putting our trust in that word. We're living by that word. So the just shall live by the word of God. So faith is a practical expression of your confidence in God and in his word. Just like you came in tonight and took a seat on that chair. You express your confidence in that chair's ability to support you, so you sat down. Faith is a practical expression of your confidence that you have in God and in his word. Now, here's the first level that has to be accomplished in our faith life. Number one, if faith is going to work, we've got to understand that real Bible faith is faith in the love of God. That's first base. I've got to make sure that I have confidence in God's love. Because if I don't have confidence in God's love, I won't have confidence in God's word. If I don't believe God loves me, then I won't believe what God tells me. So if the enemy can attack your confidence that you have in the love of God, and he can weaken that and somehow convince you that God doesn't love you. That's why it's so important to understand who you are in Christ. That's why it's so important to understand that you're the righteousness of God because of Christ. That's why it's so important to understand that once you got in him, you are who you are because of who Jesus is. And so when the enemy comes to try to condemn you, you can remind him that I know who I am in Christ. You trying to get me to know who I am in Creflo, but I'm not Creflo no more. I'm Christ. You're trying to condemn Creflo, but Creflo got in Christ. And now that Creflo's in Christ, he's a new creature, a new species that's never been seen before. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So, devil, you better ask somebody. Yeah, but you remember what you did all them years. No, in Christ, I have wronged no man. What's up? I am totally dependent and confident of my position and my stance in Christ. And that has to be demonstrated even when you miss the mark. It's got to be demonstrated that even when you miss the mark, you can get up and say, Lord, I confess that sin to get rid of it. You're faithful and just to forgive me of that sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hey, I'm still in Christ. What you say, devil? What's up? What's up? I'm still in Christ. What, you still want some of me? I'm still in Christ. And my confidence is not in my works, but it's in the grace of me being in Jesus. That's why you got to be careful how you criticize folks. You go around with your long goody-goody list, and your goody-goody list didn't qualify you. Jesus qualified you. Are you following what I'm saying? This has got to be established in the mind of a faith person so that when the attack comes, And the most powerful weapon of the devil is suggestion. When the suggestion comes, you got to know what you know from God's word. Well, God don't love you. Look at what you did last week. Yes, he does. He loves me. He is love. He loves me. Listen, folks, you want to know the truth? God loved you before you got in faith. God loved you when you were sipping and dipping and whining and dining and smoking reefer, trying to be cool, acting like a fool. God loved you. God loved you. But now here's what's happened in the world today. They say, well, God loves me just like he loves you. So you need to just love me just like I am. No, wait a minute, baby. I love you, but I don't love all the stuff you got with you. No, I ain't got to love you like you are. I love you, but I ain't got to love all that. See, God loves you, but he don't love a lot of stuff. A lot of baggage you got. Are you listening to me? So the first base is in Deuteronomy, there was a statement made that says that, you know, the Lord hated us. They were convinced that God hated them. And once you're convinced that God hates you, you won't believe none he says. First base, I got to know God loves me. I got to know God loves me. Somebody say this out loud. God loves me. And I know it. No matter what I do, he loves me. He is love. And he loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Pay attention to the nursery rhyme. All right, so that's first base. Real Bible faith is faith in the love of God. Okay? Real Bible faith starts off right there. It's faith in the love of God. All right, now watch this now. We understand that that comes from the Word as well. We understand that we don't have any Word. We don't have any faith. And so we've got to understand, all right, now, how do I get things to happen in my life as a faith person? Okay, well, first thing I do is I identify whatever it is in my life I'm trying to get to happen. And after I understand the love of God and then I have confidence in that love, I'm trying to get something to happen in my life. The first place I go so that I can make a faith plan or a prayer plan or whatever it may be, I go to the Word and I find the scripture that covers the situation or the circumstance. Now, this is an area that Christians are just not getting. We want our emotions to guide our faith life. And God don't want that to happen. He gave you emotions so that you can be in charge of those emotions and not allow those emotions to be in charge of your life. You don't want emotions to direct your life. So something comes up, sickness in the house, some kind of attack. First thing you do as a faith person, because you're a faith person, first thing you do is go get the Word. You go get your ammunition. Now, I know this may sound elementary. Forget that. I don't see how you're living. No, you go get the Word. You go get the Word. You go and you find the scripture that covers that area that you're believing for. Other than that, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to say, well, I'm under attack. Well, what am I doing? Well, God's able. Well, able to do what? Well, he's able to deliver. By what scripture? What are you standing on? What are you basing it on? I'm just basing it on because God good. No. You don't get really. Now, where is the seed? Follow me now. Where is the seed? Because you're wanting an increase in your life. And you've got to understand what Jesus said to those disciples in Luke chapter 17. Flip over there. I'm about to show you something they asked for that I don't ever want you to ask for. Luke chapter 17. Why do we need to go to the Word first and get the scripture that covers the situation? I've seen Brother Copeland do this time after time after time. I've seen Jerry Savelle do this. I've seen Jesse Duplantis do this over and over again. Whenever these guys are believing for something, they have the evidence or the seed that they're growing. Now follow me carefully now. Verse 5, Luke 17, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. The Amplified says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith, that trust, that confidence that springs forth our belief in God. Now listen to what Jesus said. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree. I heard somebody say, you sick of yours? I'm sick of mine. And look what he said. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What did Jesus just say? Here's what he said. He said, hey, boys, you don't need to be asking me to increase your faith if you understand that faith is like a seed. You don't ever again have to pray for me to increase your faith if you understand that faith is like a seed and can be planted. Come on, come on. Oh, Jesus. It's like a seed and it can be planted. Faith is like a seed and it can be planted. And when it is planted and properly cared for, it will grow up and increase. You don't have to pray that anymore because I've given you authority in this seed. The word is seed. The word is seed. This word of faith that we live by, it is the seed. But here's what we do. We're no different than the farmer who has a bag of corn seed by his rocking chair as he rocks on the porch wondering how come God ain't gave him a harvest of corn. We the same way. We got our Bible by the rocker wondering, Lord, how come I ain't got my harvest yet? Same deal. Because the bag of seed is sitting on your lap. It's sitting on your porch instead of being planted in the right place so it can grow a harvest. And as Christian people, we've got to understand how important it is that when trouble hits, we go find the seed that covers our situation. We take that seed and we plant it in our heart, get it in the ground of our heart, because out of our heart we'll release that issue that'll come forth in our life as harvest. See, the devil don't want you to know how to get results on purpose. Because if you ever get results on purpose instead of by making a faith mistake, he got to try to shut you down. But you know what to do. You've got to understand the importance of go get the word that covers my situation. Go get the word that covers my situation. Let's get that word. That's what I'm going to use. Now, you don't need 100 scriptures. One scripture that effectively covers your situation when it is planted will yield as much as you need to overcome that situation in your life. One. But there are some folks sitting in the hospital tonight. They've planted no seed. And they're saying, God, I believe you. I can't tell you the number of people I have buried believing God. Oh, yes, I believe God. But you died. Well, what happened? Then we came over with a religious excuse. Well, maybe the Lord wanted to pluck them out of the garden here on the earth and plant them in their heavenly garden. Hogwash. They didn't have an understanding that if you want corn to harvest, you got to plant it. If you want healing to harvest, you got to plant it. That's why you can go to a meeting and get a supernatural, wonderful manifestation of healing, and you walk home healed until the pain comes and you say to yourself, oh my goodness, I thought I was healed, but obviously I wasn't healed. Why? Because even though you got a supernatural manifestation, you're going to have to go get the word in order to keep it. You're still going to have to grow this word. You can't be slothful. You're still going to have to grow this word. You're going to have to open it. I know I'm sitting up here talking like, you know, I don't want to hear this. You're talking about word. Yeah. Get the word that covers the situation. Take it up out of the Bible. Write it on some cards. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your car. Put it in the throne room. Hallelujah. Put it in your office. Stick it in your book. And then become violent with that. Intense. 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 and I'm looking at it. Because now what I'm about to apply is one of the most powerful things that we can apply as a Christian people. And here it is, meditating the word. All this simple stuff that you know about, so powerful. Meditating the word. Meditate that word. Ponder that word. Roll it over in my mind. Say it with my mouth. I'm doing it 5 times a day. I'm doing it 10 times a day. I'm doing it over and over again. I'm doing it all week long. 12 times a day. It's the third week. Ain't nothing happened yet, but I'm not moved by what I see. I'm still meditating on the word. But how long I got to meditate? I'm going to keep on meditating in that word until I can close my eyes and see myself with it. I'm going to keep meditating that word until that word in me becomes more real than that situation on the outside. Oh, but you don't know how hard it is. I don't care. I'm going to keep meditating that word because I'm working on something that's sure. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep meditating that word because this thing going to come to pass. I'm working on something. I'm putting this seed in me. Something grabbing a hold of my spirit. With my eyelids, I'm going to be able to see this. Hallelujah. I'm going to meditate on that word. 2 months have gone by. I'm still meditating on that word. You see where faithfulness is kicking in? Can I trust you to keep doing this? Can I trust you to keep doing this? Or are you going to give up, cave in, and quit? Can I trust you to be an example in this earth, to stay with that seed long enough until the harvest comes up and you give witness that my seed is incorruptible seed? Can I trust you long enough? How long will you stay there before you look at a circumstance and, well, maybe God this, maybe God that? No. This is what I'm talking about. This is intense. This is intensity right now. I'm intense with this. 5 months has gone by, and I'm still doing it. And I'm still doing it. I can see it. I can see it. Don't let me dream about it. You better not let me get this image. Oh, I got that image. Get the party hats. Put the candles on the cake. This thing is sure enough coming, praise the Lord. I see myself with it. Whoa. Now, you're not on purpose trying to memorize it, but you spend so much time with it. It's now impacted your memory, your insides. It's real. Now, what happens to the stress? Ain't no stress because you're focused more on what's going on with that word on the inside of you. Are you listening to me? Meditate that word. Meditate that word. It's going in. It's going in. Most powerful thing you can do. You're getting rooted. Now, what have you just prepared yourself for when you meditate the word? What have you just prepared yourself for? You have just prepared yourself for what the Bible calls the good fight of faith. What is the good fight of faith? When attacked, you open your mouth and speak what is abundant in your heart. When attacked, the first thing comes out is what's in you abundantly. The good fight of faith is opening your mouth up when the bill comes in and you've been believing God for supply. And that bill show up anywhere and you look at it instead of saying, God, dog, what's going on? You look at it and say, oh, godly supply. Hallelujah, godly supply. That won't come out automatically like that unless you become intense with meditating that word. This is the life of faith that I'm talking about. But this life of faith has got to live in faithfulness. Faithfulness. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Because we all want the promotion and we all want the harvest. But please understand, every attack that comes against you is an attack against your faith and your faithfulness. Satan wants you to quit. It's an attack against your faithfulness. A faithful man, Proverbs 20, who can find? There's great value placed on a man who can be trusted. Oh, Lord, give me the anointing. Can I trust you? That's the issue. Have you proved yourself worthy of trust? Oh, give me promotion. Sure. As soon as you pass the faithfulness test. And there's something about faithfulness. Faithfulness, you can't prove yourself faithfulness over the weekend. It takes a long time. But you can be proving yourself every day to continue to be faithful over and over and over again. That's why we call it a life, because we're faithful in our faith. Yeah, we're faithful in it. Yeah, you've attacked us every which way, but we're faithful. We're faithful. Now, what happens to this man that in the midst of all of the attack, people have talked about you? lied on you, misrepresented you, and you're still walking in love. And you're still saying what you said before. I tell you what I did this past summer. If the government tried to attack me about my finances, I said, find everything you can on prosperity. That's all I want to pray every day on prosperity. You thought it would stop me from talking about it. All you did is reminded me of what I was last told to do. Yeah, but now, Brother Dolly, if you teach that at this time, you know, what about the people? What about the people? I am not about to be in people bondage when God has been so good to deliver me out of the bondage of the people. I got to be faithful to God, because right now people can't help me to do what God telling me to do. I got to be faithful to Him in order to get to that place where He wants me to be. That's wrong with a lot of us. We're too in bondage to what folk think. You can't hardly go to the store and shop because you're worried about what somebody going to think about what you buy. They ain't paying for it. Buy it. You ain't putting no cornbread on my table. You got to be free and liberated in order to obey God. Because if you're going to obey God every time you look around wondering what people are going to think about you, dude, that's bondage. What happens when you live this life of faith? Because the breakthrough is right there at the door. It's right there at the door. Seeing if you're going to continue to be faithful. Will faithfulness open the door? I remember I just got out of college and I joined Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, College Park, Georgia. The Reverend C.L. Carter, pastor. And I got involved and got excited about the things of God, got baptized in water. I got born again on a college campus at Georgia Tech. And I read about the life of faith. And I wanted to see if God was going to do what He said in His Word. Because I can't teach it unless I know He can do it for me. So I had a pair of shoes that were beginning to get holes in them. I said, you know what? I'm going to believe God for a pair of shoes. And so I started believing God for a pair of shoes. I started to believe God based on Philippians 4:19. I believed God that there was godly supply that I could tap into. A few months went by and those holes got bigger. And when it would rain, my feet would get wet where the holes were. And then sometimes I would put plastic over, when I knew it was going to rain, put plastic over my socks and then put those shoes on. I had to know that God would get me a pair of shoes. I just had to know that. You think, well, that's foolish. Why you didn't buy you a pair of shoes? No, I had to know. If God was going to get me a pair of shoes. And so, you know, it continued on for a while. Feet getting wet. Stepping on rocks, hurt my feet. Holes getting bigger. No shoes. I've been faithful. I was a faithful servant to my pastor. Faithful to that church. When the music department split up. Got an argument and all the folks quit. I taught myself how to play the piano and I played for the choirs. When he went in and had a hernia operation, I took the church for him. He said he could trust me. When the deacons wouldn't cut the grass, I got the lawnmower and I cut the grass. When the carpet was cemented to the floor and it needed to be pulled up and everybody said they'd be there, but only three showed up, I was one of the three that was there to show up. I was faithful. I knew the breakthrough was about to come. But this one Sunday, I got an attitude. I just got tired. So we went home after 11 o'clock service. Y'all don't mind me being honest, do you? So I went home after 11 o'clock service. And we were supposed to be back for the 6 o'clock service. And the choir I played for was supposed to sing. And I decided I'm tired. So I asked somebody else to go play. I'm tired. My pastor called me. He said, hello. I said, yes, sir. He said, will you be at church tonight? I said, no. He said, why? I said, I don't want to come. Feet hurt, wet, it's raining. I don't want to come. He said, you mad? I said, yep. He said, well, just come to church. Come to church. I said, I don't want to come to church, Pastor. He said, come on, come to church. Do it for me. I said, all right, I love you. I'm coming to church, but I'm telling you, I don't feel good, man. Tired. Because I was trying to decide, you know, man, does this stuff work? Or am I just fooling myself? And I need to make a decision. Am I going to stay in faith or am I going to get out? Because I don't want to go. I just need to just be quiet. So I got there, and the choir was singing, and we were singing the song, Angels Will Be Singing. I was beating the piano like a drum. Bum, ba, boom, 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 boom. You can see attitude, big attitude. So I sat down on the cone over there by the motherboard. And all of a sudden, these two ladies came up. They had a bag and some other stuff, and they said, would Reverend Dollar please come down? And I had my attitude so big, I didn't even hear him. Somebody has had to get my attitude. Hey, they calling you, huh? Huh? They want, what they want? What they want? What they want now? What they want now? You know, I'm all, you know, I mean, what else you want me to do? Attitude. And Lord's in there dealing with me. He's like, boy, just come on, just hold on. I came up. And he said, we're instructed by the Lord to dress you from the bottom of your feet all the way up to your neck. And the first thing I saw was a box of shoes. Something just all on the inside of me. I'm like, God got my shoe. I said, God got my shoe. And they didn't understand why I was weeping. They didn't understand what was going on. And then the lady told me, one Sunday I was praying, and in church they had the chairs here, and the chairs, when you would turn around and pray, you would expose yourself to the congregation. So she was at the altar praying, and I was down like that, and she saw them holes in my shoes. I didn't know she saw them holes in my shoes. I had got so used to them, I didn't know. And she said the Lord spoke to him that day to get them shoes. Ladies and gentlemen, it may not be a pair of shoes, but if you'll stick in there and hang in there and don't quit right when your shoes are at the door, I'm telling you, God will do what he said. God can put shoes on your feet. He can put clothes on your body. He can pay your bills. He can get you out of debt. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Them the best shoes I ever had before in my life. Why? Because God gave them to me. Now here's what the Bible says. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. What kind of man? A faithful man. A faithful man in his faith will abound with blessings. Oh my goodness. I tremble sometimes when I think, man, I was about to quit when my avalanche was on its way. Not now, ladies and gentlemen. Give like you've never given. Pray like you've never prayed. You see, character is necessary. And that word faithfulness is translated. It was translated faith in the book of Galatians, but it is faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the character we need, ladies and gentlemen, because you'll never go above the character you possess. If you spend all of your rest of your life quitting, that's all you're ever going to do is quit. You're never going to see nothing. When it gets hard, you quit. You're never going to see nothing. When people talk about you and quit, you're never going to see nothing. I'm so glad that Gloria and Kenneth Copeland didn't quit. I'm so glad they didn't give up. I'm so glad they didn't cave in. I'm so glad they didn't stop. I'm so glad the day when I came into the Tarrant County Convention Center and sat right up there in section 316, that they were still preaching the gospel and preaching the truth and not being concerned about what other people were saying about them, but they just looked right on. They just kept right on. The character of faithfulness was, whatever has to happen, I'm not going to quit. So, yeah, stay in your faith. But how do you do that? By being faithful. By proving yourself worthy of trust. Are you doing what God last told you to do? Or have you ventured out into yet another ministry dream of grandeur? What was the last thing God told you to do? I went through my ministry and got rid of everything that was a good idea and reduced it all back to God ideas. You can believe the money I saved. You know, get rid of all that stuff, man. God didn't tell you to do it. God ideas already anointed. A good idea, you're begging him to anoint it. But why is he going to support something he didn't call into being? It's no different than a guy stopping and washing the windshield of your car and you didn't tell him to do it, and then he's sticking his hand out there talking about be paid. What? Pay you? I didn't ask you to do that in the first place. Back up. There will be provision for the vision. Can you be trusted? Oh, so it was hard. Like ain't nobody else had no hard time. Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted with this anointing? Can you be trusted with the answer to the prayer? Are you ready for that? Oh, God, give me $1 billion. Dude, you ready for that? You know the responsibility? That's part of faithfulness. Responsibility, reliability, dependability. Are you ready to do what God tells you to do with that $1 billion? You ready? See, because that's the deal right there. I'm not asking you, are you ready to live it up with $1 billion? I'm asking you, can God trust you with the answer to that prayer?
Come on. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, oh, yeah, he can trust me. Well, all I need to do is look at where you are right now. I don't have to wait till that money comes. I got to look at where you are right now. What are you doing with the $2.05?
Thank you, man.
Oh, we love to say, oh, yes, God, you can trust me. Bull. What are you doing with where you are right now? What are you doing with what you have right now? What are you doing with what he told you right now? You don't have to blow smoke up yourself. You understand that you can check out if you're faithful with the little. Three areas God told us to be faithful with. Number one, be faithful in the little. Yeah. Be faithful when it's small. Had a lady tell me one time, I think it was in our New York church, she said, I'm going to have salons in 13 states. I said, you ain't having nothing because you can't even be faithful with that one chair. You won't show up to work with that one chair. Promotion comes after faithfulness. Be faithful of the little. Number two. Be faithful with money. Can I trust you with money? Will you do as I've instructed you to do with money? Do you even check with me? Do you acknowledge me in that way so I can direct your path?
Thank you.
Can I trust you with it? Yeah, but Lord, but I need that. No. Can I trust you with money? Because all I'm doing is seeing if you can pass the faithfulness test. I'm not trying to trick you. I want to see if you can pass the faithfulness test. I mean, when God gave me my test, he said, son, I want you to write. And I asked him, I said, Lord, tell me what you want me to give. He said, give $10,000. I said, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He said, this isn't Satan. It's me. Will you obey? Third thing we got to be faithful with. Faithful to that which belongs to another man. Faithful to that which belongs to another man. Who are you serving? What advantage are you giving to another while we're praying for God to give you the advantage? These areas of faithfulness is what keeps our faith out in the field working. We don't quit. That's our character. You touch us, we get stronger. Yes, we're humans, but we're humans that are possessed by the Spirit of God, so that greater that is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, yeah. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Yeah, I've been in corners, balled up. Oh, God, help me. Yes, I've shed tears. Oh, God, where are you? Yes, I've had pain. Oh, God. But in each one of those situations, it was always an old God. And stay there until we figure this thing out. Ladies and gentlemen, your avalanche is coming. Can your faithfulness receive it? Because I know this is where we are every single time. That breakthrough, big things get ready to hit. Satan goes to panic. And what does he do when he panics? He takes every kind of pressure he's ever been successful with in your life and see if he can get you this time. And the way you respond is, in 1970 you tried it, and I'm still here. 1988 you came, I'm still here. In the 90s you showed up, I'm still here. Now it's 2008 going on 2009. What you say? What? You want some more of me? I'm not going to quit. How many times is it going to take before you realize that I am in this for life? I'm not quitting. I hear the sound of abundance of blessings on the faithful. God trust you. Tonight, as we receive this offering, I have ministered unto you spiritual things. And the Bible says it's now okay for you to give of your material things. Those of you who are watching on television and have watched tonight, Kenneth Copeland Ministries for almost what, Gloria, 40 years? Over 40. That's faithful. When I think faithful, I think Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Over 40 years. Come on, give it up. Over 40 years. Which simply means that much faithfulness, you're supposed to be blessed. You're not supposed to be not blessed. After 40 years of ministry, a faithful man abounds in blessings, and the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. But I want us to pray right now. I want you to pass the first test. I want you to pass this test. It's called faithfulness over money. So many people fail with this test. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We go ahead now with our faith. We declare we're worthy to be trusted. We will be trusted. And in the name of Jesus, we ask that you speak to our hearts on what you have us to give and what you'd have us to sow. And we're not looking at the conditions in the worldly economic system. We're not looking at the conditions in the political systems, although we pray for all. But we are looking at your word. Tonight we want to prove with the little. Tonight we want to prove with the money that we can be trusted. Speak to our hearts. Show us what you want us to give. And we will. Yes, Lord, we will. You said, give, and it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto our bosoms. The it we're giving tonight is in the area of finances. And with what measure we meet, it will be measured unto us again. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for the mighty harvest that is to come. We praise you for the mighty provision. We praise you for your word working every time. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, let's take the test and pass it. Let's take the test and pass it. Let's put heaven on notice tonight that the army of the faithful has arrived. We're here. And we're not going to be moved. We're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? And you just watch. You watch as the next few months begin to progress. You watch. There are going to be some things that hit the body of Christ that ain't nobody, nobody's ever seen what we're about to see. Not 10 years from now. You're about to see some awesome stuff. Awesome money is about to come into the body of Christ. I don't think y'all hear what I'm saying. Awesome wealth is about to come in the body. What do you think all this stuff is about? It's trying to attack. That's what the devil's trying to do, trying to attack it, but he can't stop. What God had intended on taking place long before this time.
Thank you, Lord.
He was just seeing who could be trusted. I never forget, maybe 18 years ago, Dennis Burke came with a word to our church. And that word was about how God was going to trust us with the millions and the billions. And my wife won't let that go for nothing. Won't let it go for nothing. It was the anointing of God that was on that thing. And God has been so faithful. He can be trusted. It's not for us to be trusted. Okay? Are you ready to sow this supernatural, awesome, faith-passing seed? All right. Ushers. Now, I want you to do something special tonight. When you sow your seed, I don't want you to ask God for nothing. I want you to minister to the Lord. I want you to sow your seed and stand up and just tell God how awesome He is. You're just so good. You're just so great. I just give you praise. I say hallelujah to you. Oh, Lord, I just minister to you for all of your goodness and your grace and oh, there's none like you. I just want you to just carry on like that. And you watch the Spirit of God, the presence of God come in on you and even on your situations as we do this. Let's honor Him with our offerings and our seed, and let's minister to Him through our mouth and music. And let's just about 10 minutes, let Him have His way. Just minister to the Lord. Well, but the Lord knows I need my leg hurt. Don't you know God know that? We're not going to ask Him for nothing. We're going to have a Jehovah appreciation. Just thanking. It's just praising and thanking God. Oh, my goodness. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, He's already done so much. If He didn't do nothing else, He's worthy of your praise right now. Huh? Going to ask them. Praise team and everybody to come and just let's minister to the Lord. Let's minister to Him. Let's go ahead and receive this offering. And when you put it in, tell that offering to go and grow. And let's just minister to the Lord. Lynn.